And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
This is the RBLR Rays Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Dobb, along with my co-host, Pat Davenport. Pat, man, what even was that week of baseball that we just observed from the Tampa Bay Rays? Pat is so distraught, he's not even able to speak.
Oh gosh, yeah. Words escape me. I think it could be best summarized perhaps by the last 10 seconds where the Rays had a series win, they were edging towards a series win against a playoff contending Chicago Cubs team. And we're just a few outs away. In fact, they had two runners on, two runners out, and they just needed to get one out to kind of crack on and get back in the hunt for this series win. Nico Horner just doubled up the line about 10 seconds after we went live. The Cubs are leading 4-3.
You said a hung a changeup, like right, like dead center, pretty much. So now it's 4-3. And we are going to lose this series unless we can get some offense, which is not impossible. But it certainly doesn't feel likely given the week of Rays baseball we just endured is about the only way I could say it.
Yeah, endured. It was kind of last chance saloon for the Rays this week.
Yeah.
Like, I had declared the team dead last week, but you were like, don't worry. If they have a good series against the White Sox, a good series against the Cubs, we're right back in it. And you were right. If. However, we did not have a good series against the White Sox, and it's now looking like we're not going to have a good series against the Cubs.
No, I mean, first of all, before we get too far into it, thank all of you who are here joining us for this therapy session, maybe, talking about this team that we love to hate to love. If you are enjoying the show, if you are a regular viewer, thank you for coming back. We appreciate all of you guys. If you want to do us a huge favor, if you've not already followed us and subscribed on all the socials, would help us out a whole bunch. If this is somehow your first viewing of the RBLR Race podcast, I'm sorry. We're normally a little more positive than we are right now, but it's a little bit rough out here. But you know that if you're a Race fan. So, let's just kind of dive right into it. Starting off the White Sox series with a win. So it started out good. I mean, that's kind of maybe the story of the season a little bit is we started out with some positives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bit of a gritty game. It wasn't a comfy win by any stretch of the imagination. It was kind of back and forth, but at the end of the day, we managed to get the job done. Tristan Gray, the unlikely hero, who, you know what, has actually been solid since coming to the Rays, actually.
Yeah, I think we've been a little bit negative of him because he's no elite defender at shortstop. But that being said, like this week, put up a 179 WRC plus is hanging around like a just above league average WRC plus, you know, since coming back with the Rays. And you got to give him some credit for that. It's a position where I don't know that anyone expected him to really be in. You know, Walls was either the backup or the starter. Carson was next in line. And then Kim was intended to be the starter. So now Gray having to come up and play, you know, somewhat regular. I mean, he played like four games this week. Like, that's not what he would have expected. So given all of that coming up and taking advantage of that opportunity, I got to give him a lot of credit for coming up and making the most of it. And he was a huge part of this game going deep. Like, I got to, you know, and kind of funnily enough, the team that he was traded to the White Sox, I believe.
Yes.
And then we bought him back from the White Sox and then goes deep. So it's a little full circle moment for Tristan Gray there.
Yeah. And good for him because, you know, he may not be on the team next year. He may not be.
Probably. I mean, anything is possible at this point.
Anything is possible. He might be good depth to have around, you know, because if I would imagine they'd want to run with Carson Williams and Taylor Walls next year, but
that would be the expectation.
If one gets hurt, I'm totally fine with Tristan Gray kind of filling in the blanks there. Yeah. He's quality depth. But there might be a team that's willing to give him a longer run after his showing with the Rays. So who knows? But I also want to give a shout out to the Pen. I think the Pen pitched really well. In Mason Montgomery was a little shaky, but Kelly, Baker, you said a Fairbanks all like slammed the door after that.
Yeah. And, you know, they as we kind of were, as we will do kind of later in this episode and probably for the next several weeks, honestly, kind of, you know, try to go back and figure out what exactly went wrong with the season. The finger is not really going to be pointed at the bullpen. The bullpen has not really been the issue. There's been some moments. The Rays bullpen always seems to have a moment at some point in the season where it's not looking good, but they always find a way to turn it around, and they've not been the problem for the over the stretch of games. There's been moments for sure, but a lot of the moments that the bullpen has had are, you know, in my opinion, resulting from poor offensive performances, putting too much strain on the bullpen, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been an offense problem. I think the pitching staff, for the most part, has been really solid. I think we've lacked a little depth at times. I think the back, like, I don't think we've had a true ace this year, which has really been a struggle. But we've been solid pitching wise. I like the bullpen. I think the bullpen, you could run this bullpen back next year and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, the second game of the series
was a bullpen game.
And, you know, Montgomery, who is young and has had his ups and downs all year, was the only real black spot. I know Kelly gave up one run, but Montgomery is the only real black spot in that bullpen game. It was zeros from everybody else except Kelly all throughout that game. You know, and that was not a planned bullpen day, by the way. I don't, if you are not aware, that was a Ryan Pepiot start. It was supposed to be, but he's been shut down due to fatigue, quote unquote, which to me is code for we're throwing it in a little bit. We're calling it. We're not going to try to kill our young, hopeful ace here at the end of the season, you know, already over his innings career high. We're not going to overthrow this kid. And I mean, they paid lip service to him being, you know, possibly able to start again this season. Not going to happen, especially not the way that the last couple of days have gone. Not going to happen. So
yeah, if we were 2-3 games out of the wild card in the last week of the season, I could see Pepiot getting back in the mix. Because we needed some wins, but like now that we are, just for clarity, are you ringing the bell? Are you throwing in the towel on this 2025 Rays team?
So I was gonna kind of say it a little bit in the last game of the series, which there's not much more to talk about in the middle game besides Pepiot.
I guess in the middle game, the only thing about the middle game is, despite putting ourselves in a hole early because Montgomery really struggled, who has been sent down now as well.
Yes, he was sent
down. We really tried to bring it back together. Cammy homered, yeah. Williams got a home run. We really tried to pull it back, just couldn't quite get all the way back.
Yeah, and again, and that's why I have struggled so much to like close the door fully on this team, because this is a team that fights all the way to the end. And I have so much respect for them because they are a team that does that consistently. And so it's hard for me to just totally be done with it, with a team like that. But when you get to that, when we get to this last game of the series, we get to a game where Ian Seymour, who has been, you know, a guy that we didn't expect to have as much of a role as he has had, he gives up 3 runs. Orzy, who's called up, I believe that day or the day before, he gives up 2 runs. We're giving up 5 as a staff. Joey Gerber's pitching innings. And we can manage only 1 run against the Chicago White Sox with our season on the line. It's just hard for me to continue to believe. And it doesn't help that we are 7.5 games back as it's, you know, and looking to go 8.5 games back. The way things are currently going, because we just went 1-2-3 in the top of the 8th. We will have the most of the top of the order coming up in the 9th, so you know, It's not over till it's over. And Junior and Yandy have both shown they can go yard at any time. So it's not over till it's over, but it's not looking great. I think it's just hard for me to see the path, because the only path that remains is perfection the rest of the way, pretty much. We'd have to win every game out left. I think we had one loss left after, according to kind of my calculations, after Chicago, or the White Sox anyway, going into the Cubs series. We lost one game to the Cubs. And at that point, it's like we'd have to win every game, or there'd have to be a collapse. And unfortunately, the teams in front of us are not collapsing. They are surging. You know, the Rangers are surging. The Mariners have held, held their spot there. Boston's not collapsing. Yankees aren't collapsing.
The Mariners looked really vulnerable when we swept them.
They did.
But they've figured it out and got back on the horse. Meanwhile, with this Rays team, like, we were about to hit the gas.
Yeah.
And then we stalled. So
and instead we've gone 3-for-6 over our last 9. Looking to go 3-for-7.
That's the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, is like, if you're going through a rut, like the Mariners definitely were. They were like 1-9 after we swept them over that last 10. But they righted course and got back onto winning ways. Meanwhile, this team, same story for the second year in a row. Can't put anything together consistently.
And, we could still run off. You know, if there's going to be 13 games left, we could still go like, 8-5 or something, have a nice end of the season and finish with a record above 500, where you say, you can again, as I've said before, this is a team that fights to the end and put up some nice games and the season out. I've been joking on Twitter a lot that, I'm intensely watching Junior's home run race to get to the 47 that would give him the record for a Rays player, because that's kind of the most exciting thing left going. And it's kind of tough because, Carson's up, so he's fun to watch. And what's kind of left to watch for the rest of the season is guys like Seymour, who I don't really blame him for this loss necessarily, but he gets the loss. I don't really blame him for it. If you giving up 3 runs over 5 1/3 is not the end of the world, you just needed better. It's probably unfair to put that on him. And it goes back to.
You would have had to throw the shutout because we scored 1 run.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a fair expectation to put on your pitcher to throw or on your staff to throw a shutout in order to win. Like, they can do it, but I think it's unfair to be like, that's how we have to win.
Yeah, I mean, my policy always has been if the pitching staff gives up less than like 3 runs or less and you lose, that is the offense's fault. Like, just kind of across the board. When a starter gives up 2-3, I consider that a good start. Because our bullpen normally can find a way to give up 1 or 0 because they've been that good. At this point, we're just kind of left, and I think all Rays fans are left wondering, how did we end up at this point? How did we end up 3 games below 500, maybe 4, depending on how this game ends, and a season where we felt like, going into it, we felt like the holes had been plugged. We felt like we had some question marks here and there, but they were all kind of platoon players. And so we felt like we could overcome that. We were confident in the pitching staff. And here we sit. So this is something we will definitely talk about more as the offseason goes on. But kind of just your first thoughts, Pat, on how did we end up here?
Yeah. I would say we've had 2 bad off seasons in a row where we failed to significantly improve the team. And something that's also like kind of bummed me out is just like how quickly it's come unglued for us. Think about this 2023 Rays team 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
100 game winners, basically. And now look at us. We're staring down the barrel of our second straight losing season following what? In 2023, we won like 99 games. In 2021, we won 100 games. Like in 2020, we went to the World Series. And then in two off seasons later, two straight losing seasons.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about how good this front office is. But like, I'm getting really anxious and nervous that they're losing some sauce, or that they've been like, or they've, the league's figured them out.
Yeah.
Or because all of their acquisitions have like, there might be a prospect that comes up. Like one of the guys in the Randy trade, or like the guys we got in that Randy trade, are really good. And we've got a few other prospects that like we might have acquired that we haven't heard about yet. But in terms of at the major league level right now, we haven't made an acquisition that's like actually been a good one in 2 years, unless you count like Uceda as a minor league free agent.
Yeah.
But like a good reliever on his own can't turn your season around. And we've turned from a 100 win caliber, a division caliber winning caliber team to a middle of the pack non-factor. We're in the worst place. We're in mediocrity.
Yeah. Kind of feels like we've gone back to right before this run of success, where we'd win some games, we'd be frisky, we'd have some moments, have some fun players here and there.
Like the 2017 Rays, right?
Yeah.
Like the 2017 Rays, they were 500. Longo was fun. And Logan Morrison hit 35 home runs.
Logan Morrison, Corey Dickerson, those kinds of players. And that's the, and that was the end. It was, you know, Jake Odorizzi and Chris Archer. That's how it has felt. Even though I think we might say that the team is more talented now. And here's the one mulligan that I will give the Rays front office. And it's something we've said it a lot, but I do think it bears saying again, because I don't know of any organization that could have survived what the Rays have, and that is losing your franchise and not just losing him, but losing him the way that they did, right? It wasn't they didn't trade him. He didn't like leave in free agency. He like
He didn't even get like really badly hurt.
No, he didn't blow out his ACL, and he's not sitting in the dugout still trying to cheer the team on. No, he is like in jail. I think he's actually in a mental institution now, which is neither here nor there. But like that is really hard to recover from, especially when you consider that the franchise in this case was at a premium defensive position as well, where, you know, you then have to backfill that. And so now you've had 2 years of Taylor Walls basically starting there at shortstop, because Junior, as good as he's been, was never going to stick at shortstop. So you did not have a ready-made shortstop in AAA ready to replace him, because you weren't supposed to have to. You weren't supposed to have to. And, you know, I think if you looked at any other team right now and you said, all right, Kansas City Royals, no more Bobby Witt Jr. Or you said, all right, Yankees, no more Aaron Judge. I would imagine that their performance would be similar, with the added difficulty of limited financial capability to make additions. You, I think, made a lot of really fair points about the lack of additions in the offseason for the Rays over the past 2 years, and the additions they made have been at the margins or haven't worked out. The Rays have not had the money to really go after, because there were big free agents available, but the Rays were never in the ballpark on any of them, really. They made offers.
Yeah, and to give another mulligan, another bit of copium, is like this year, the team's stadium got destroyed.
True. Yes.
Right. And like that you know, could say, well, and that means we had to play in a really weird ballpark that had really weird stuff happen in terms
and
of
we like struggled wind. At home at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, like we have historically played really well at the Trop.
Yes, that's true.
Really well. Even I think last year we played well at the Trop when we were mediocre overall. But we didn't have that, and we were kind of at the mercy of wind and loads of crazy stuff in that in the Steinbrenner this year. And that did have an effect on the pull, I think, we could have had with attracting players.
I mean, yeah, 100%.
I mean, I remember the Roki Sasaki saga. But I also think the moves that they did make, like, we were thrilled with Danny Jensen and Ha-Sung Kim coming in this offseason. But they have failed spectacularly so.
Yeah.
In ways that the Rays in the past 7 years have not failed when they go after a guy. They very seldom go after a free agent and like sign a well-known free agent. And if they do, they're sure on this guy. So like since 2018, the free agent signings that we've made, major league free agent signings we've made are like Charlie Mott, who did really well. Zach Eflin, who started great, and then we traded him. And then after that, it's Danny Jensen, Ha-Sung Kim. Like, Ha-Sung Kim, the highest paid position player in franchise history.
Yeah.
In terms of a free agent signing. He played how many games for us in the end? 30? 25?
Yeah. Let's see if I can find the exact number.
And then is gone straight away. Like, the Rays are so like, we do not want him because he's that, like, he is weighing us down so badly, we do not want this contract, that they gave him away for nothing.
24 games,
and in 24 games they were like, oh god, he's gonna pick up his player option, he's so bad, we cannot afford for him to try and pick up his player option.
And I will say, just a really fast note, there was some angst among Rays fans that he was like was good with the Braves, and he has regressed back to basically his exact averages with the Rays over the last couple of games. So anyway, but yeah, I mean,
and Danny Jensen was a mess.
Danny Jensen was a mess.
Like, could not defend the position in the way that he should have. And as a bat first catcher, which we were as a fandom crying out for, we've come to realize why that's an awful idea, especially when the bat first catcher doesn't bring his bat.
Yeah, and I mean, he kind of turned it around with the bat towards the end of his time with the Rays, which, you know, that's okay. But I think as a team that has relied so heavily on pitching over the years and not on offense, we felt it immediately when the catcher was not at the level that we had come to expect, because of the reliance on pitching for the Rays, the catchers we always had were always glove first, because there was an understanding that we've got a lot of, you know, big arms that throw kind of crazy stuff, and you've got to be able to handle the staff. And so we always had catchers that could do that. And so then to transition to someone who, you know, couldn't handle the staff very well. Part of me wonders if some of the offensive struggles were related to him having to learn the staff and trying to make that adjustment. I don't know. He had been with the Blue Jays most, if not all of his previous career, and had gotten used to that organization. So that's a big change. I think catchers, more than anyone else, the change in org, it really affects them because of just based on having to learn the new pitching staffs. It really showed. And so it was a swing and I rate much worse than the Ha-Sung Kim signing, because to me, the Ha-Sung Kim signing didn't work out because he was injured, and it's almost impossible to predict that. And betting on guys with injury history has gotten the race to the playoffs more often than not. So I'm willing to kind of give them that one and say, you know, hey, we've tried that multiple times and it's worked out, especially with pitchers over our over the franchise's history. So like I'm kind of, you know, I sort of am okay with it. It's a bad look and it was a failure, but I'm not going to kill him for that one. I am going to kill him for Danny Jansen. I don't know what they were thinking with that one, to be honest.
Yeah, it went against the, we talked about it even when he signed and we were optimistic about it when he signed. But we did say this is against the Rays' usual philosophy when it comes to catching.
Yeah.
So they've made a, honestly, I think this Rays front office has made a lot of bold decisions the past couple of years in an important time for the team when they're like wanting to potentially move, like try and transition into a new core. Because that's where we're at. We're about to transition out of the Randy Yandy Lau era.
Yeah.
And we're going to transition into the Junior Carson question Aranda. Mark era, Aranda era.
Yeah.
The Trey Morgan era.
The Trey Morgan era. We'll be out to
this. And the thing about every core, just ask the Orioles, is you need the supplementary pieces around it to work. Yeah. And the Rays have failed in all of their decisions in trying to build supplementary pieces, I think, so far. I think we have got this core. The new core is ready.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything around it that gives me optimism.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel any different, but I'm like, okay, Junior, Aranda, Carson, great. We can't rely on them to carry an already bad offense.
I think that JDL is going to be fine. I think some combination of Palacios, Trey Morgan will be fine at second base, maybe even like above average major league level. The outfield is where I'm concerned. The corners are where I'm really worried. Even catcher, I think we've got some nice prospects for catcher going forward. But I think the concern is the corners. And that's where a lot of your offense is supposed to come from. You're supposed to be getting offense from your corner outfielders. And right now, it is Josh Lowe, who has, you know, I don't want to say famously, but it's not that famous, but like has clearly not met expectations there, has not been able to recapture the magic of 2023 at all. And then it's left field where it's kind of like the island of misfit toys out there in left field right now. And Morel is a guy that I think can get somewhere. I think he can get to a, you know, I think he can, again, we keep talking about going back to 2023. I think he can go back to 2023 too. I think he's still young. It's still possible. But again, going back to Nate Jansen real quick, the thing that I think hurts the most for me watching them from a strategic sort of organizational standpoint is that they continue to give Danny Jansen the run for large swaths of this season to let him figure it out. And they did not do that with Morel, who I think more so deserved the run than Jansen did.
And he has would have been more promise than Jansen has, for sure.
And guys like Jake Mangum, who certainly was a part of this season's success, Chandler Simpson the same way. But like Danny Jansen was starting at DH some days. That's inexcusable to me, in my opinion. That's inexcusable. Like,
yeah.
On days, like, you Morel needed to be playing more, given what we traded away for him. If you were going to trade Isak Paredes, who, yes, we would have had to find a spot for him, but I think we could have found one if we had kept him. You traded him away. There needs to be some sort of, you know, get back for him. And there just hasn't been so far. And that's just been really frustrating.
It has been. And this is about building a supplementary core. Like if Yandy and Lau get traded in the offseason, which is a real possibility.
It is.
This offense looks absolutely like it's Junior Caminero and Jonathan Aranda on their own.
Yeah. And Carson Williams, who you hope can figure it out. And
right.
Sorry, I'm watching the race game.
We got a final. We got a final score. Cubs went 4-3.
4-3. Yandy got on base. Junior strikes out on a breaking ball out of the strike zone, as he is wont to do as a 22-year-old kid who is, you know, somehow driving the offense of a Major League Baseball team. So that now takes us about this
lineup.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you're totally justified in that concern, because unless Morel figures it out, and unless J-Lo and Morel figure it out, the offense is like adrift. And when it comes to the outfield,
it needs a lot of help.
It needs a lot of help. And you're probably, like, I would say after this year, even more so, they're going to be looking to the catching position as a defensive first position, because this year was a nightmare. And so they're going to clearly be looking for defense first catchers going forward to be, you know, the plan there. So that's gonna leave, you know, second base is, you know, if Bilal isn't there anymore, it's gonna be Palacios, it's gonna be, you know, Trey Morgan, and again, like I like Aranda a lot, and I like Junior Caminero a lot, and I like Carson Williams a lot, but that's a very young Aranda's not like super young, he's approaching kind of his prime. But the other two are super young, and to be putting the offense exclusively on them, it's a lot to ask. And so I guess the question that will be left for the offseason is going to be, will they make a move to acquire a veteran? If they keep Yandy and Bilal, then they can, you know, then we can sort of push these questions off for another season. If they don't, then I feel like they have to acquire a veteran of some kind to play in the outfield, to try to calm this down a little bit.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is if you go and you look at the available outfielders in the free agent market, there is one really good guy and then a bunch of meh. Mm-hmm. And we do not need meh in the outfield, because we have meh. We don't need more meh in the outfield. I'm kind of sick of the Rays acquiring meh. And I mean, you know, in a way, that's kind of the life we live as Rays fans, is there's going to be a lot of sort of adding around the margins. But adding meh is just kind of, you know, what we've seen recently. But as Rays fans, there is a way for all Rays fans to acquire something that is not meh. And that is to go right to shop.rblrsports.com. Anytime you want, off season or in season, you can make an acquisition there at shop.rblrsports.com, where you can find the best merchandise inspired by your favorite Tampa sports teams. Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, Rays, and Sun are all there. You can go make an acquisition and get real performance in your corner outfield of life, which is your wardrobe. Shop.rblrsports, use promo code FLAPPY, FLAPPY, for 10% off your entire order. Shop.rblrsports.com.
Ah. I think it's the best call you could possibly make. And I also think, while you're at rblastsports.com, you should go check out the Rays Roundtable every week.
You should.
As well. It is the best article, not just about the Rays, but it's also about maybe the best article in baseball, best regular article in baseball.
It's been said,
and I would say it again. And we have it's essentially a big mix of mini articles talking about various parts of Rays baseball, and it's great. It keeps you super informed in bite-sized chunks, so you can read it in little bits at a time as well, which is great. Highly recommend that at rblastsports.com.
Something I cannot highly recommend anymore, unfortunately, especially with that loss, is believing that the Rays are going to make the postseason. We currently sit 14 games out of the division, 7.5, which will be, I mean, I don't know if Seattle's played today or not, or how they're doing. I don't think they played till the evening. They're currently winning by 5 over the Angels. So it's going to be 8.5 at the end of the day today. No signs of slowing down from really any of those teams. Houston has fallen into the wild card from the top of the division. But they are on track. They're basically, all those teams are on track to win somewhere between 87 and 88 games, which for the Rays to do so is not, I don't know that it's, I actually don't know if it's mathematically possible anymore for us to win 87 games. I think the most we can win is 86 at this point.
We got 13 games left and we got 73 wins. So 86.
That is the best we can do. So now we are left, you know, the hope I think for the rest of the season would be that we can somehow find a way to win 10 games and get above 500. I guess we could win 9 games to be above 500. That would be cool. That would be cool. Do it, we'd have to beat some, you know, teams that are in the playoffs, except for the Orioles, the playoff teams the rest of the way, except for that Orioles series on the road, Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Blue Jays again. And then, you know,
we played the Blue Jays tough this year. We are 5-1 against the Blue Jays.
It would be fun. I'm curious how close. I mean, it would be kind of neat to like knock Toronto out of first place if it wasn't for the fact that the team would be knocking them out of first place for would be the Yankees, which I don't really want to do. So it's just kind of not very fun all around. I know I'm usually the good vibes guy, but I'm having a hard time good vibes at this point.
When the team is dead for the year, whenever, if that's in the World Series, if that's in the ALDS, if that's in the final couple days of the season, whenever you know the team is dead for the year, it's sad because the off season's long, man, and you don't know when the team's gonna be back. You know, when are we gonna be next in the promised land? And I don't know if they can turn this around in one off season. I know I think that's really depressing news. Unless the new ownership allows the Rays to go a bit crazy and spend some real money. I don't know if one off season away. Because like you said, there's only one outfielder. It's Kyle Tucker. And if the Rays don't get him, what are we adding?
Well, I mean, hopefully we'll be adding Shane McClanahan.
Sure.
Which will stabilize the rotation a little bit. And I think we still think the bullpen is good.
Yeah, the bullpen is good. The rotation is fine. If McClanahan is good when he comes back, which is no sure thing after 2 years out.
Sure.
If McClanahan is good, then yeah, we've got a rotation that I'm fine with, especially if Pepio can continue how he is, if Bars can finally stop hanging sliders. Then we got a rotation there. I like the bullpen. But I don't know if we can get a lineup good enough to get us back to the playoffs in one off season, unless we're like really allowed to do stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think the path, if we keep the path with the team as currently constituted with no major additions, is you keep, for next year at least, keep Yandy and Bilal. So you have a really solid infield of Junior, Carson, Bilal, and then Yandy and Aranda there. They're playing DH in first base. And then if JDL is healthy, I believe he is capable of being a league average bat out there. And then the path is Morel and J-Lo figuring it out. That's the path. The problem is that is like, what is the opposite of a sure thing? Whatever that is.
It's an unsure thing.
It's a very unsure thing.
Yeah.
Those two turning it around and figuring it out. And as in terms of like level of belief, I think the thing that makes it really hard for me to like get excited is Junior kind of like is having an insane season, and that's not enough. And I think for me, that's really hard. And like, you know, really Brandon Lau's been healthy most of the year. Yandy's been healthy most of the year, and they've both been good. So you had like the three guys who were supposed to run the offense. And again, I do think there is something to say over this last month that we didn't have a Ronda, and Ronda was a huge part of the offense to begin the season. I do wonder, you know, what this team would have looked like if a Ronda was healthy, you know, for the back half of the season, which she has not been. I think that that is a fair question to ask. And I do think, you know, if you keep Yandy and Bilal, I actually think then you have six hitters who you can all fit into the same lineup.
Yes.
I think who are really good.
And so, you know, with Junior as well, he's had an insane season, but like you can also see the path to how he gets better.
You could.
Cause he hits a lot of ground balls still, lots of double plays. Right. And he's also bad at taking his walks, which is fine because he's 22. If he gets older, wiser, becomes more selective, you'll hit less ground balls and grounds into double play. You'll get on base a little bit more. The bat speed's going to play. He's going to hit a lot of home runs regardless because his bat speed's so ridiculous. But imagine if he took an even more disciplined approach, which he probably will do, given the fact he's 22 and will get more disciplined as he gets older. So you can see the path for Junior continue. Yeah. I don't think this is a Linsanity run for Junior Caminero.
No, because the things that he has done well this year are the things that we said he was good at, which is hitting the ball really, really hard and lifting the ball. He just needs to do a better job at swinging at good pitches and understanding, okay, because he hits the ball so hard, he's grinding into a lot of double plays, a lot of hard ground outs. So finding, you know, and that's the work in the offseason to find a way to lower that ground ball rate a little bit and hit more line drives. Because if he's hitting line drives, those are going to be base hits most of the time. He's not hitting weak liners.
Right, exactly. Like, so let's put it this way. Cal Raleigh, right?
Yeah.
He's got a 14.1 walk percentage this year. Okay. 2 years ago, let's say, when he was not an MVP candidate. He was good, but not an MVP candidate, right? 9% walk percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's picking his pitches better. He is going, okay, if you're scared of me, which pitchers will be of Junior Caminero, he goes, fine, pitch around me. I'm just going to stand here and go to first base then.
Yep.
And that's a huge difference. That's the difference between Junior, which is like, what, a 120. He's probably going to come somewhere between 125 and 130 WRC plus on the year.
Yeah.
That's the difference between that and like a 140 WRC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the difference between about 20 more RBIs probably on the
season. Right. And it probably gives him somewhere between half and three quarters of an extra war.
Yeah.
So like, and the thing is, Junior's also got way better at defense than we thought he was going
to. Yes. He's really improved there.
Still a little rough around the edges, but I think he is now a solid third baseman.
Yeah, and he's got the arm, so that's not the problem. And he is getting better at his footwork. He is getting better at his situational awareness. And if he can figure out those things, which he's already started to, he's going to knock on the door of a 4.5 war season this year. At his age 21 season, he could be easily a 5.5 war player. I think he could gain another win next year. And the thing that's so difficult about Junior is it's not like he's like Randy where, yeah, just don't throw him a fastball. Like he can punish you. He can punish multiple pitches. He will punish the off speed. He will punish fastballs. He will punish breaking balls. He's going to have high exit velocity like all the time. So if you don't play good defense against him, if you're not ready for that, you know, high velocity fastball and ready on your feet. And we've seen that a couple of times where he's hit the ball so hard, he's just hitting it to the hole faster than the defenders can get there. He's had more singles than you would imagine for a guy who hits the ball as hard as he does because of the like ground balls that he's gotten. Some of those just, he hits them so hard, they just get through the hole because they cannot get there fast enough. And if those like hard singles turn into hard line drives that are now in the gap and are now a double and are now RBIs instead of just a single or a ground out, that's where we get to that next level. And like you said, just a little bit more of a walk threat. Because again, if he is hitting in a lineup that has performers like Yandy, like Bilal, like Aranda behind him, and hopefully Carson when he figures it out, those guys can drive him in now. And so and it's going to end up being really hard next year if they keep all those guys together to navigate that lineup. If they don't, and this is kind of where I think you're getting, is if they do not keep the band together, if they move on from Yandy and Aranda, which it doesn't seem like they'll move on from Yandy and Bilal, Yandy at least, because he is under contract. It's not an option. He's under contract. And you get the feeling if they were going to, they already would have. But if they decide to do that, then it becomes a much – next year to me almost becomes – unless there's a serious addition in concert with that, which, I mean, I guess you can make the argument that if you let go of around $25 million in salary, well, then you should be able to, like, bring some of that money back in somewhere else. Unless they do that, then the path to making the postseason becomes razor thin. And it relies on Chandler Simpson becoming, like, I don't know, Ichiro 2.0, pretty much. And it relies on Jake Mangum being, like, slightly worse than that. And it relies on J-Lo figuring it out and Morel figuring it out and Palacios being healthy and him figuring it out. And there's a little too many figure it outs in that sentence for that to be, a plausible path to the playoffs. So that's where we sit.
Yeah, we sit with a team that's not good enough right now. A team that is fine, but not good enough.
Yeah.
And it needs to get better. And I hope that the new ownership group give the facilities for the team to get better. Whatever that may be. Whether that's permission to make particular trades, whether that's money, whatever it needs to be. Yeah. You need to extend Junior, by the way. That's like priority one.
Yeah, and if they don't extend him, yesterday's price is not today's price on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the best time to extend Junior was at the start of the year. The second best time is right now.
Yeah.
The third best time is this offseason. Otherwise, you're going to be having to figure out how you can fit $30 million a year on the payroll for Junior.
I mean, if he does this again next year and you haven't extended him, good luck.
Yeah.
Because that point he's 23 years old.
Looking at the Mookie Betts situation where he's like, out of here.
I'm out of here. Yeah. And again, like at that point, he's probably thinking, like, if you genuinely wait until after next season, which I think would be like cracked out to do that. If you genuinely wait that long, now you're also probably, he's also probably thinking, hey man, I'm like one of the best players in baseball and I'm getting paid how much? Like that's going to start to become an issue. And so do the right thing here, front office. I don't like, honestly, if the trade-off is, if they have to move Yandy, if they're so strapped for cash that they have to move Yandy and Bilal to sign Junior long-term, so be it. It seems to me that they're going to get the Junior money back. Or not the Junior, the Wander money back based on any of all the sort of adjustment or the news around that situation seems most likely they're going to get the money back on that, which would then to me seem like a no-brainer, just immediately put that money into Junior. But that's going to be something else to follow pretty like closely during the offseason.
100%. I would look to probably look a little bit more than just because of it was a couple of years ago now and inflation and stuff like that. But I would look towards the Julio Rodriguez contract.
I don't know. I mean, he plays third, not shortstop. I think that deal might get it done. Maybe a little more. Maybe you're right. And the Julio deal is probably a good one to look at. Because it's
Struggle to accept something less than it.
Yeah.
Because it's baseline 12 years, $209 million, but has a lot of escalators.
But also, you could make the, if you were the Rays, you could make the argument of that was awesome. but we've seen a lot of one hit wonders. And now, you know, you'd be making that, you'd be kind of like saying that through gritted teeth, because you also know that, as we do, that there's nothing in his numbers that is suggests a regression next year. There's nothing, there's no red flags. And by the way, all the people that are saying that on social media, you're wrong. You're just incorrect, in my opinion.
His OPS on the road is worse.
You're wrong. His OPS is slightly lower on the road. But that is not a sign of regression. That is normal.
He's hit like 5 home runs on this road trip. His home runs, home and away, are pretty even, actually.
Yeah. And he's 22. I think we have somehow not talked about that enough, that he is this young. I was curious. So the other day I looked back at Manny Machado's first couple seasons in the majors, and he was not this good offensively at first. Now, he was a much better defensive third baseman to begin his career. He was kind of a Gold Glove caliber third baseman from the get go, but he was not this guy offensively at all. It took him several years to get there. So the path may look slightly different, as it may be more of a sort of like, almost funnily enough, kind of a mirror image of Machado, where he needs a couple years to get there defensively, or Machado needed a couple years to get there offensively. But I mean, he's more valuable at his age than Machado was at his.
Yeah.
Just think about that. One of the great third basemen of our era. And Junior is, you can look at their career paths and say, yeah, there's a world where Junior can meet and exceed that based on what we've seen so far. Because you know, as great as Manny Machado is, I'm just misremembering, but I don't recall 40, you know, he's going to end with 46, 47 home runs in his career.
No, never got to that kind of level. So
you got to sign him. You just have to. You just have to sign him now. Like, honestly, if we have to sacrifice this playoff potential run this year in order to get Junior signed long term, I will make that trade. Yeah, I will make
100%. That trade. 100%.
Because there's really nothing else to look at from a Rays front office perspective at the end of this year, other than, hey, look, that guy's really good. We should probably sign him for longer.
Yeah, 100%. And we ended up spending about half the episode talking about Junior Caminero, because this is what this year has been. It's been the Junior Caminero show. He's so important to the future of this team, especially with what happened to Wander. Like, he is the guy we've got to build around now. I guess I can't believe I'm going to ask this before we go. Maybe this is a bleak way to end. Rays are actually in line for decent odds in the lottery. In the draft lottery.
Yeah.
Should we lose more up those odds?
No. Number one, because I think that the teams that do that in – number one, I don't think you can do that intentionally and not lose your locker room. And number two, very rarely does tanking actually work. There will be a benefit. We will probably pick lower this season than we have been in the past. And there'll be an opportunity to acquire some high value talent there. But we should not lose more games. We should, use this as an opportunity to get Joe Boyle a couple more starts. Maybe, they were saying that Pepio may go on Tuesday. I'll believe it when I see it. But I think it's an opportunity to get Joe Boyle a couple more starts, keep letting Ian Seymour go out there, but not in a way we're trying. And again, it's the, hey, Junior needs 3 more bombs. He should, unless he's like hurt or is like, there's some like reason from the medical staff that they think he needs to like not play the rest of the year. I want him out there every day with a chance to break that record.
Yeah, agree. Do you think he gets to 50?
He would have to hit a home run every 2 games, to do that. I actually think what will probably happen is he'll get to 46 within the next like 3 games, and then it'll take him most of the rest of the year to get to 47, which is just kind of how it seems to be happen with Judge. last year, yeah, them, three or four. I can't remember.
That last one, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's probably my prediction is he gets to 46 by the end of the Blue Jays series. And then it takes him until the second Blue Jays series to get to 47. And then maybe he ends with 48, just for good measure.
Okay.
That's my prediction. But I am very confident he's going to get to 47 at this point.
Okay. Yeah. I hope so. I hope so.
That will be fun to talk about when it happens.
Yeah. I love you, Carlos Pena, but we need a new guy at the top. Currently, the Rays have the 9th worst record. Well, though that's not true. I lied. But we have the 9th highest odds in the draft lottery because the Rockies, Angels, and Nationals are ineligible to get a top 10 pick because of how their lottery progressed last year. So we could get a top 10 pick.
That would be good.
That would be fun, right?
I don't really know. I haven't really been following the draft scene for this offseason, so I don't know. That'll be something that we will follow, though. And that is something that if you enjoyed this show, as rough as it may have been to kind of talk about the state of the Rays, if you want to hear us continue to diagnose this throughout the rest of the offseason, if you want to hear us talk about, hey, if the Rays do end up with a high draft pick, who should they be taking? You're going to want to stick it right here. And if you have enjoyed and if you want to keep going on this journey with us, because we're going to be here no matter what, even if the Rays, you know, continue to lose games, no matter how the season ends, we're going to be here supporting these guys because we love this team. And if you love this team too and you want to come on this journey with us, do us a huge favor and drop a subscribe or a follow on any of the platforms that you enjoy us. We're gonna keep being here, and we appreciate all of you so much for going on this journey with us this season. We got two more weeks, 2.5-ish, of baseball left to play, and we're gonna enjoy it while it's here because it's gonna be a long time until we get it again, unfortunately. And we'll enjoy the rest of the ride, and no matter what, it's gonna be Rays up.
Rays up.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.